And take your Bibles this morning, open up to the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 10. Gospel of Luke, chapter number 10 this morning. If you do not have a Bible this morning, you'd like to follow along, there should be a Bible right in front of you in between the hymn books. Luke chapter number 10. Last week we talked about making a difference through prayer. Our theme for this year is making a difference, and for the last few months we've been looking at this idea of making a difference, and hopefully it's been encouraging you to want to make a difference in some people's lives. And I tell you that sometimes we teach and sometimes we preach and sometimes we go through the Bible and we encourage and try to motivate others. But you know, sometimes it just comes to the point that some people really aren't interested in making a difference. This morning we're going to actually look at a title. It's called Having Compassion So You Can Make a Difference. Having Compassion So You Can Make a Difference. Now that was a long title, so I gave him a shorter one in the back, and it can also write down as "Who Are You Passing By?" And the story today, we're going to be looking at the story of the Good Samaritan. I know that probably some of us at least have some type of frame of mind what the Good Samaritan was all about, and how that the priest and the Levite walked right by the guy that was in need, and walked right past him, didn't show him any mercy, didn't show him any compassion. And this morning, I'd like us just to think this idea, who are we passing by? And remember last week when we talked about how Eli was there, and Eli was the high priest, and Eli, even though he had a great burden, even though Eli was should have been the person that was praying, should have been the person weeping and begging God for revival, we saw that woman that was over there, Hannah, was the one that was praying. Was the one that was begging God, one pouring out her soul, one that was praying with passion and praying intensely and consistently. And we showed the difference that was there. This man was sitting and watching. He was supposed to be the spiritual leader of the day. He was supposed to be the one that, of course, Hannah was supposed to be praying, but Eli was just watching. And this morning we got a similar thing. We got some people that are walking by, right by people that need help. And there are some of the spiritual leaders of the day, but they're still just walking right by him. This morning, my prayer is that we will see the people who are in need of help. We'll look at the reasons why some people just don't want to help. And then we'll look at how we can help too. Let's look here in this story. And it's found in Luke chapter number 10. We're going to kind of tell a little commentary as we read the story. And this morning as we look at who are you passing by. Luke chapter number 10, verse number 25. Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying. Now, here's the point is, they're there, they're listening to Jesus teach, they're listening to Jesus preach. And this lawyer who had come to the meeting, he didn't come to the meeting to learn, he didn't come to the meeting to hear. You know what he came to the meeting to do? It's to stir up some trouble. Now, if you come to church, we should be coming to church to hear and to learn and want to praise and worship God, right? We shouldn't be coming to just looking for a way to stir up trouble. And you know what? There are people. I don't think there's people here that do that. I've been to churches, places. No matter what the preacher said, they weren't going to get moved. They're just looking for something to nitpick and something to complain about. This man here didn't want to learn. Now, this is Jesus that's teaching. It's not just some man. It's the Son of God. He says, and tempted him, saying, Master. He called him Master, but he wasn't being submissive. Remember, he was tempting him. He was looking for fault. He was watching him, trying to find something that they could accuse him of. He said, Master, what shall I do? He says, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Now, Jesus, knowing all things, knows how to respond to all questions. And he says in verse number 26, he said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? Now this man was a lawyer, probably a scribe, maybe even a Levite. And in this story here, you see that this man knew the scriptures. He knew the laws. And Jesus turns it back to him and says, okay, you want to know how you can have eternal life or what you can do to get eternal life? He says, you tell me. You know the law. And here he says in verse 27, he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, with all thy strength and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. So he hits it right on the head. That covers all the law. If you follow that and you do that for your whole entire life, you can have eternal life. But the point is, no one can do that. And that's what Jesus is showing this man. He's helping understand. There's nothing you can do to get eternal life. It is a gift that God gives him. And you see in verse number 28, and he said unto him, thou hast answered right. He's saying, Pastor, Jesus is saying that you can work your way to heaven. No, what he's saying is that if you keep the law in all points, you don't need to be justified. You don't need Christ's righteousness. But here, he knows this man. He knows that this man is a sinner. He says, this do and thou shalt live. Now, the man's probably a little bit embarrassed. He understands inside himself he can't do all those things all the time. No one can. It's humanly impossible to live a perfect life. Only Jesus Christ, the Son of God, could do that. And he says, verse number 29, instead of going to God and saying, God, I can't do that. Jesus, you know what? I can't love you that way. I can't treat my neighbor that way. I need your help. I'm asking for your forgiveness. I'm seeking your mercy. What is it that I can do, or what is it that I need to do in order to believe in you and put my faith and trust in you? He doesn't do that. Instead, in verse 29, but he, now look at these next words, willing to justify himself. He's been presented with the truth. He even said the truth with his own mouth. He came to an understanding that he had a need, but instead of repenting and seeking God's help, he tries to justify himself. And this morning, when we talk about topics and when we preach a little bit this morning, I do not want you to try to justify yourselves. I want us to hear the truth of the Word of God and let the Word of God maybe break up some of the hard places in our hearts to give us compassion so we want to make a difference. We've been talking for weeks about making a difference, but do you really have a heart that has a desire to make a difference is the question. You can continue on here. He says, he's trying to justify himself, and he says in verse 29, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? So he turns around and says, okay, you're going to tell me to do all that stuff? Well, then you tell me who my neighbor is. And he did not get the response he thought he would. Here in the story, Jesus says, is telling him, whoever is in need of your help is your neighbor. That is the people you're supposed to try to help. Whoever is in need of you is someone who you're supposed to try to help. Look what it says in verse number 30. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. So I remember one time we did this in our family devotions. And when the kids were smaller, we used to act things out, and we had I don't know if it was Andrew or Christian, but they enjoyed beating the other one up and leaving them there. And but you get the picture here. They fell among thieves. This was a long, windy road, and this was notorious for having thieves that were there. And so they take this man, they beat this man, they strip him of his raiment. He's left there. He's left bloodied. He's left probably somewhere near naked. All worldly possessions are gone. And you look at that last phrase, leaving him half dead. So what does that mean? When I look at that idea of leaving him half dead, I think there's a choice here. There's a chance he can live, and there's a chance he could die. So when you see this man that's just laying there, and his life is hanging in the balance. Let's keep on going here. Verse number 31, And by chance, there came down a certain priest. Now, this is the priest. This is the man who is supposed to stand between God and the people, man who offers sacrifices. A certain priest that way, if anybody was going to help him, surely this priest would. But most of us know the story. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. He walked right by the man on the other side of the road. There, his life is hanging on the balance. He is there, he is left for half dead, cannot help himself, and the man of God, or one of the men who worked for God, passed right by. Verse 32, and this lawyer might have been a Levite here, because many times that was where the connection was. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. Now, so, and this guy, as I look in and as I read it, they come and he walks over to the guy, checks him out, and then walks to the other side of the road and keeps on going. He sees the need, even looks at the need, and turns around and keeps on going. And let's keep on reading here. And it says, and then in verse number 33, it says, but a certain Samaritan. Now, you got to understand, these Jews hated the Samaritans, and the Samaritans hated the Jews. This was a man who that they normally would not speak to, normally would not ever come close contact. They would walk miles around just so they didn't have to go through Samaria. He said, who are the Samaritans? Well, the Samaritans were the ones after that Babylon had came and took over Judah and had taken all the people to Babylon. They left a small remnant behind, maybe the weaker, more feeble ones. They had married Gentiles. So in their mind, they were half Jew, half Gentile, that nobody wanted to claim them. And they were the ones that came to Ezra and said, asking Ezra if they could help build the temple. And they said, no, you have no part of this. And because they had selfish motives, so they went and they built their own temple. And they worshiped their own way. Well, this Samaritan probably made this man cringe when he heard this word Samaritan, because this is a man that this lawyer would never had anything to do with. And a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. This word compassion, I like this definition, it's having the hurt of others in our heart. It's that when this man came by this road, he saw this man there laying, cannot get any benefits. Remember, this man is wounded. He has nothing. It's not like he can know anything about the man. He doesn't think that if I help this guy, maybe later on I'll get a reward. That's not in his heart at all. He says he had compassion. He saw that man. He saw the hurt he had. And he allowed that hurt to affect his heart to where it was inside of his heart too. You keep on going here and it says, and went to him and bound his wounds, pouring in oil and water, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. So he goes and he doesn't just look at him and goes to the other side like the Levite. He actually goes. It says he ministers. He tries to take care of his wounds. He was riding his beast, which is a lot more comfortable than walking. He goes, gets off his beast, humbles himself, because as a Samaritan, they didn't want to have anything to do with the Jews. He went out of his comfort zone to go to this man, help this man, pick this man up. Once again, they would never even touch each other. Pick this man up, lay them on his beast, and then himself have to walk the rest of the way to the inn. We don't know how long it was. I'm not going to even speculate. But it was a lot less enjoyable of a ride when you're walking. So he gives of himself. He gives of his time, because it takes time to help somebody. He gives of his resources, his beast, and the ointments he has. And then he also provides for his future needs. Look what it says in verse 35. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take ye care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. He's interested in this man's future. He says, look, here's some money. Use this money. Take care of this man. And when I come again, he doesn't plan on just leaving there. He doesn't say, hey, I've done my part. It's over. He says, I'm going to make sure he's taken care of. And when I come again, he says, I will repay these. We're interested in the future. In verse number 36, he turns back, telling this man, this lawyer, and he asks this question, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he's got him caught there. Jesus is telling this story to this man who's trying to justify himself why he does not need to do the things that was necessary. Verse 37, he said, he that showed mercy on him. It was a pretty easy answer. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. So here's the thought. Do we have the compassion in our heart to see through the eyes of compassion the world that is around us so we want to make a difference? Do you have compassion so you can make a difference? Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. I pray you take this story and burden our hearts, Lord, to see this world as you would want us to see it. God, not the way that maybe we want to, or not the way that even I want our people to see it, but Lord, with true enlightenment, how you want us to see this world and how you want us to care for this world. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we got in the story here. Three different things I want you to look at and three different things I want you to understand. First thing I want you to understand is who is in need of our help? Who is the ones that are in need of our help? As we heard in this story, we've got to understand that this man, he's lying on the ground. He's lying on the road. He could do nothing to help himself. So who is the one that's in need of our help? You know, there is that phrase there, who was left half dead. So it's the idea that he is there and he is teetering. He could live and he could die. And I don't want you to get confused when I say this, because I don't want anybody to understand that when a person who is unsaved, they are lost and they are dead in their trespasses and sin. But there is hope, because the gospel can reach those people. And that's what I'm talking about when I talk about an unsaved person. Yes, they are dead in their trespasses and sin. There is no way to get to heaven on their own. But there is the glorious gospel that can break through. So I want you to understand the people I'm talking about this morning. That people I'm talking about having compassion about this morning are the people who are lost and on their way to hell. Now, there is another group of people that we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about having compassion on our church family and having compassion on other Christians tonight. And so if you want to hear that portion, come on back tonight. But tonight, this morning, I'm looking at those that are lost and in a sense half dead, because they are lost and on their way to hell without someone going and carrying the gospel to them. And there's people that are walking by those that are lost every single day. Now, who are the people? Oh, it's those Samaritans, the ones that don't want to have anything to do with it. No. It's the Levites, it's the priests, it's the Christians of this world that are looking at those that have a need and saying, I don't want to help them. Now, I want you to get this, and I say, Pastor Pease, I know what you're talking about. You guys came from Kids Crusade and you saw all those kids and your heart was broken. And yes, my heart was broken. When I see all these kids and I see that many a times the things that they're being taught, many of the times the schools that they're going to, and many of the times the families that are being raised up and all those other things. Yes, my heart is broken, but it's not just for them. I began to think about making a list of different people who needs our help. And I'm going to start off with something, a different one. I began to think in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, verses 4. So it talks about how the God of this world has blinded the eyes. I began to think, who is it that needs our help? Who is it that is like this man that is laying on the side of the road that needs the gospel of Jesus Christ? And we as the Levite and we as the priest see him and we continue to walk right on by, never willing to help. Well, I thought about ones that are blinded with false religion. Ones that are blinded with false religion. You know, those are people that need our help. You say, Pastor, what do you mean by false religion? I mean anyone who is not putting their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Anyone who is thinking they had to work their way to heaven. Jesus Christ himself said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Our grace, we are saved by grace through faith, not of works. So anyone who is saying that you have to work your way to heaven, those are the people that have our needs. And I began thinking about it, and I think about those that are lost, those that are spiritually blinded. And those are people many times will walk by. You think, I was in Chick-fil-A a couple weeks ago, and when we were in Chick-fil-A, there was a busload of Church of Christ people, not Church of Christ, let me get that, Mormons that walked in. And they walked in, they had, all the guys all had their white shirts on. I'm not picking on, I'm wearing a white shirt. And but if they believe what their Bible teaches, they are people that need our help. They are people who need our help. They have some different doctrines that are contrary to what the Bible teaches. They are just like that man that's in need of their help. But you know, when's the last time that we have ever talked to a Mormon? What do when we see them? We're like the Levite. We walk away to the other side. And let's think about, how about the Muslims? If the Muslims believe what their Quran teaches, they are just like that man that's lying there in great need of help. Now, I'm not saying that they're beaten and that they're bloodied, but the devil has blinded their eyes. And the devil said, the Bible does talk how the devil is like a thief. The Bible does say they are in just as great of need as that man that's lying there. It's not a greater need because it's a spiritual need. A Muslim. You know, somebody that maybe looks a little bit different than us, dresses maybe a little bit different than us. Say, when's the last time that we would ever consider talking to them? You know what we have become like? We've become like the Levites. We like maybe look, and we just walk around and say, I ain't going there. And, but not only them, there's other people that have the devil has taken false religion, and try to blind their minds and blind their eyes, and he's become successful. It is our job to be like the Good Samaritan, to go out and help reach out to them. Not only that, who are you passing by? I began to think, not only is it about the ones that are blinded by false religions, ones that are blinded by certain lifestyles. Ones that are blinded by certain lifestyles. Say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Well, there are some lifestyles out there that are in great need. I think about the homosexuality movement today. Blinded by the devil into believing things. Those are people that we need to pray for. We need to reach out to. We need to witness to. How about the different, I don't know about you, but sometimes I don't understand young people today, and I'm older than young people are today. I know I'm younger than some of you, but you know, I see these kids that are maybe this lifestyle, gothic lifestyle, or they have different piercings and different this, and they look what we're not used to seeing. You know what many of us do with them? We see them they're hurting. We know they have a need. We know the homosexual has the need. We know that we can see the pain that's written on their face. We can see the need that's in their heart. And what do? We look at them, and we walk right by them. I think about those that have never heard. You know, we talk about those pictures back there, those missionaries, and I think of those people who have never heard. Those unreached people groups in different foreign lands. But not only there, but I think of the unreached people group in Elizabeth City too. I'm not talking about those that are homeless versus those that live in big houses. I'm talking about anyone that's never heard the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And I know that some of them are people who have never heard because no one has gone into their neighborhoods and no one has ever knocked on the doors. Hey, Pastor Pease, they're not interested. I know that I'm not saying it's going to be easy. I'm not saying that it's something that it's going to be, not saying that everyone's going to line up to hear it. But when that man has said he tried to justify himself to God by saying, who is my neighbor? And what Jesus told him? Anyone who's in need of our help. And this past week, when I did go and I see kids, all different types of neighborhoods, all different types of backgrounds, many of them not ever heard or know about Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be like the Levite or the priest, because we hear that story and we see that Levi and we see that priest and we're like, man, those guys are pathetic. They should get fired. They don't even deserve to be a priest. They don't even deserve to be a Levite if they could walk by someone without even being willing to help. And you know what? In our own lives, in our own minds, many times the same thing could be said about us. No, we don't deserve the glorious grace of Jesus Christ. Shouldn't be willing to help those that are hurting? And once again, I know that there are people hurting that are friends, or Christian friends, or church family. That's who we're going to talk about tonight. But I want to think about it this morning. And I'm not saying any particular thing besides those who need to hear the gospel. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, people that are being disrespectful or shoving things back. We mentioned groups like the homosexuals that are many times anti-God, these other religions that are anti the things we're trying to teach. I understand that. But this Samaritan, what was he an example of? It was an example that was given to these Jews by Jesus Christ of someone that would not normally be willing to help a Jew. And a Jew would not normally be willing to help the Samaritan. So these are the issues, these are the topics that Jesus wanted this man to consider. When he's trying to justify himself, says, oh yeah, I do this, this, and this, and that. And anyway, who is my neighbor? These are our neighbors. These are the people that are in need of help. Not only is it who is it we are in need of our help, one, who is the ones that need our help? Secondly, why do people walk by? Why do people walk by? You go back to this story and you see that in verse number 31 and 32, the certain priest passed this way. The Levite, when he took his place, looked on him and passed on the other side. I guess began to think of some different things why people walk by and just don't want to help. You know what it reminded me of is that story about the feeding of the 5,000. Remember that? The disciples see all these people. They were spent. They worked hard. They worked hard. Imagine those that were here for Kids Crusade this past week on Friday night, and they were still there helping clean up. They were dead tired, just like these disciples were. And they got these 5,000 people that are coming to Jesus, and they're looking, and the disciples come to him and says, look, we're hungry. They're hungry. Send them home. Please, just send them home. We've already done all these things for them. We have already reached out all this mountain. Look, it's their best benefit we send them home. That's what the disciples saw. You know what Jesus saw? He saw people without a shepherd. He saw people that had a need. And through his eyes of compassion, he says, you feed them. And they're like, we can't help them. We don't have the resources. And he says, find what you have. And then I will take what you have and provide what they need. You know, in this story, in that thought, you know, when we look at this world, we're like, I can't do it. I can't reach them. I can't change them. Jesus says, find what we have. I will take what we have, and I will meet their need. Now, that's a physical need. It's a spiritual need. I know people have a choice whether they're going to reject or accept Jesus Christ. I understand that. But are we doing our part? Are we walking right by? You think about it. Some reasons why people walk by. I don't think that many times people don't think it's their responsibility. Just plainly put, some people says it's not my responsibility to reach that religion, to reach people with that lifestyle, people with that people group. When you consider all the unreached people groups, it's just not my responsibility. And that's what the disciple says. Lord, send them home. It's not our responsibility to feed them. And I want you to get this. The Bible tells us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And it is our responsibility if they have a need. In some way, some shape, some form, as God speaks to our hearts, we need to stop walking by the people and start looking for ways we can help. Another reason, they don't have the time. They don't have the time. I don't have the time. And that could have been why the priest walked by. That could have been why the Levite. They might have been on their way to the temple. They might have been in a hurry. They couldn't stop and take the time. But if we're too busy to reach out to those that need the help, then we're too busy. We are just too busy then. Now, I want you to get this and understand this. Now, it is not an easy spot here. It's a dangerous spot they're in. You know, they could look at that man and said, hey, if I stay and help that man, somebody might come rob me. So it's not ever going to be something that I'm not trying to paint some pretty picture. I'm trying to tell us that we need to find a way to help those instead of just walking by. Why do other people walk away? They think that it's their own fault. They think that it's their own fault. They chose their path. And talking about the false religions, talking about the lifestyles they chose, let them live that way. You know what? I am so thankful that there was somebody who took a church bus and came by and picked me up. Amen. And if you enjoy me being your pastor, which we're not taking a vote right now because I might be discouraged, but if you enjoy me being your pastor, you should be thankful somebody took a church bus and came by and picked me up. Amen. In a neighborhood that was not very nice. And a neighborhood that many people would say, just leave that one alone. And yeah, I was the one of the few kids that came from that neighborhood. They kicked people out of the church, kicked people off the bus from my neighborhood, but they kept on coming by and picking me up. I'm thankful for that. Now, it was different in my house because I had a mom and I had a dad that were both saved and disciplined, and the bus brought me when my mom worked, which was Sunday mornings, and people gave me rides to church other times, and I wanted to be there. There was a big, and I was grew up in church, so I was always respectful, and I always this and always that. I get that, but I was thankful when someone was willing to come to my neighborhood. And when we say it's people's own faults, I was thankful that someday somebody showed me the gospel. Weren't you?
Amen.
Weren't you that thankful that, it was my own fault. It was because of my own sin. But I'm thankful someone showed me. This is the idea here, is that I'd like for us to try to see with compassion those that were walking by. When we look at the multitudes, many of us look at it like the disciples do. Just send them away. We can't do anything. What we need to do is look through the eyes of Jesus and say, Lord, they need your help. Instead of looking at someone and going and because they dress differently than us or look differently than us, or we need to say, even if you don't feel comfortable talking, fall on our knees and pray for them.
Amen.
Give them a gospel tract.
Amen.
Show compassion. I think that we should be troubled because we are not troubled. We should be weeping because we do not weep. We should be concerned because of our lack of concern. And I am not saying that, and I think both of you know, my heart's thought about this is I want to reach out to those that want to know and those that want to be a part. But I think many of us, if we were honest, walk by people every single day who's in need. And I think we're a lot like that priest and that Levite. We might look. We might even say something. But we just keep on walking. Third thing I want to say, okay, Pastor, how can we help? How can we help those laying there? I'm glad you asked. First thing you need is God's wisdom. The day and time we live in, people today are out for themselves, and there's dangerous areas, dangerous spots. There are people who will try to take advantage of others. There are people who try to do things that are just hurtful. So the first thing you need to do is you need God's wisdom. What I'm asking is for us to see the world through God's eyes with a compassionate heart, because that's the way he sees the world. That's why he came down to this world to die for us. So we need to seek God's wisdom. We need to, with an open heart, open mind, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. God, help me to see this world the way you want me to see it. Not just the way Pastor Pease does, because Pastor Pease is a human. He is a man. He can make mistakes. But Lord, if you want me to see this world through the eyes of compassion, if you want me to see those that are hurting and those that are in need because of false religion or because of lifestyles or because of the fact they've never heard or they never had the opportunity or because of the way they've been brought up, if you want me to see that, Lord, please give me that vision. Ask me, God. Now, I'll be honest with you, and you get hooked. Once you reach out to people and try to help them, it can hook you. It's the idea, once you're willing to tell somebody, once you see God working in our hearts and lives. You know, the people that had a difference in my life were those that had compassion. Isn't that the same case with your story? Those who cared, those who took the time, those who were willing to, like this man did, this man went to them. The priest stayed on his side of the road. The Levite looked at him, went on his side of the road. This man went to them. It wasn't like the man that was hurting came begging to him. He went to them. He humbled himself. You know, that Samaritan, they wouldn't normally talk to him. No, they normally wouldn't respect them. No, they normally would not. They would not ever interact together. But he humbled himself. He saw somebody had a need and said, that need is more important than my own desires. We can also see that he gave of himself by letting this man ride the donkey. He gave of his own ointment, gave his own things. We also can see that it wasn't just about getting a person saved and forgetting about him. It wasn't just about getting healed up and dropped off at somebody's house and letting him become somebody else's responsibility. It was interested in their future groups, future lives. Do we truly care? Do we truly, truly have compassion in our hearts? We talk about it, making a difference. I want to make a difference. You know that verse there in Jude 22, that's only a portion of it. You know how it talks about in Jude 22? And of some having compassion, making a difference. Do you have compassion today so you can make a difference? Because that's the people who make the difference. It's the people who have compassion. Too many of us are walking by people who have needs. Too many of us are looking and just still walking. I want to encourage you this morning. Jesus Christ gave this story to a man who was a lawyer, high member of society in the Jewish area, who had come to church to do nothing but cause trouble, or come to the meeting to do nothing but cause trouble. And guess what? Jesus says, this is the type of neighbor you're supposed to be to, those that have a need. Now, I know what you're saying, Pastor. People out there, you just never know who to trust. We get telephone calls a certain time of month because people's electric bills are due, and they call up and say, do you help with electric bill? And they must all come to do during a certain dates because they get lots of calls during those times. And no, we don't help everybody. We don't. We help our church family. He said, Pastor, you're walking by those that have a need. And no, it's not that. There's a physical need and a spiritual need, and we try to help out. We always invite them to come on out to church. And if you come out to church, you know, we can see, we want them to be interested in the great needs of their lives, because we don't know how they deal with their finances normally. We don't feel like we should help those that are not helping themselves. And say, Pastor, no, put it this way. Sometimes God is trying to work on somebody's heart, and God is trying to help somebody to realize they have a great need in their life. And sometimes somebody comes out and bails them right out, and they never realize they don't get the help they need from God because somebody else is bailing them out. So I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about how we can walk past the hundreds of people we see in Walmart, walk through certain neighborhoods, look at certain pictures, and our hearts not be broken. There's something wrong. There's some problem here. And I'd like to say, ask you the question, who have you been walking by lately? Say, Pastor, who does that? Well, see, I think this story is a beautiful picture of Jesus Christ. Well, it talked about how Jesus Christ came to us, didn't he? We were the ones that had the need. We were the ones that were devastated, lying on the side of the road by the attacks of the devil, lives encompassed with sin, headed straight to hell. And Jesus Christ came to this world. He didn't have to. He didn't deserve what he was going to get. But he humbled himself. He took on the form of a servant. He became obedient even unto death, even to the death of the cross. He saw we had a great need. There was something he could do to meet it. And you know what he did? He left heaven came here, died on the cross, was buried, rose again, and has given us an opportunity, a way to get to heaven. He saw we had a need. I am so thankful he did not just walk by.
Amen.
I am thankful he did not just walk by and say, hey, that human race has a need, but it's their own fault. They're the ones that sin. They're the ones that are blinded. They're the ones. No. So thankful he didn't just keep on walking by. He came. Aren't you glad he came today? I'm glad he came. And I'm here to tell you this morning, there have been times in my life where I've walked by. But I don't want to walk by. I want to help. I want to see God's face for wisdom, because we really, truly do need wisdom. We do need to reach out. We need to pray and seek God for what missionaries God wants to support. We need to pray and seek, you know, as we go out in God's power and God's spirit, and God will give us the words to say and who to give the tracts out to. You say, Pastor, you mean certain ones? No, I'm not saying that. We should give gospel to everybody. But those, God knows who's the ones that are looking. God's the one that can lead us, and God's the one that can direct us, and God's the one that can give us the words, and God's the one that can help us with that. We need to seek God's wisdom, but we must be willing to go like that man came, went, just like Jesus went. Be willing to give of ourselves and humble ourselves and get out of our comfort zones so that way God can use us. This morning, who is it that you're walking by? Is there somebody on your work? Somebody in your family? Somebody on your street? Somebody in your city? This morning, let's ask ourselves that question. Who are we walking by? Let's pray.